Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, it's a good night to be in church. Amen. It's a good place to be. Praise God. You know, we like my wife said, we were in church, you know, all week. We were in church in a hotel all week. You know, and church really is wherever we take it. Amen. Church is where we take it. We have to remember that. We have to remember that we bring church with us everywhere we go. The Bible tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That He's come to live on the inside of us. He's come to be on the inside of us so that He could go with us everywhere. Amen. Yeah. So we didn't have to just go to a certain building anymore. Now it's important to be connected to a church. It's important to be connected to a building. Praise the Lord. It's important to come desiring all that God has for us. But, you know, we have to have that revelation that God is on the inside of us too. And therefore, we take Him with us. And we take His abilities with us. We take His power with us. Amen. We're living, we're walking, talking carriers of the power of the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's something to be quite excited about. Glory to God. What did you come expecting tonight? Praise the Lord. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 3:11. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. You know, people can lay foundations, and it's not saying that it's impossible to lay another foundation. But in context here, what it's talking about is there's no foundation on which truth can be built on. There's no other foundation on what your life can really be built on than that which is laid, and that's Jesus Christ. We have to know that. We have to understand that the foundation is so incredibly important. Today we're going to preach about, I'm not going to get to that yet, but we need to know the importance of a good foundation. You know, I've talked about this many times. I've said that, you know, when we build a house, you don't build a house with a cruddy foundation, because if you do, you're not going to have a house that stands very long. Amen. And I was thinking about this as I was thinking about this, I started thinking about, you know, how with trees and such, it's a common thing to take trees nowadays and to graft a tree onto a hardier rootstock. So in other words, you may have a certain, let's just say like a maple tree that grows around here just all the time and very easily. They just grow. You know, they may take a tree, and if you go to a nursery and buy a tree, they may have taken a certain kind of tree, maybe an oak tree or something, and grafted it onto the maple rootstock. And why do they do that? I don't know if that's exactly the ones they use, but I'm just using it as an example. But they do that because they want a good foundation. Yeah. See, because they know that if they have a good foundation, that even a tree that maybe couldn't do so well around here naturally will do better because the roots are adapted for this area. You know, and so we have to understand that it's the same thing with us. We've been grafted into the body of Christ. Amen. We've been grafted onto a better rootstock. And so our foundation is firm. Our foundation is better. But we have to build on that foundation. So all things that we do need to be built on that foundation. Well, tonight I'm preaching about being fruit bearers. And, you know, it's not surprising that these illustrations came to me about using a rootstock and stuff like that, because the Bible has a lot to say about these things. The Bible has a lot to say about bearing good fruit. And we know that you're not going to bear good fruit unless the root is good. If the tree, if the stem isn't good, then the fruit isn't going to be good on it either. Amen. So we need to rely on that. We need to understand that, and we need to dig into all and find out all that God wants for us in there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna turn to John 15:8. Praise the Lord. John 15:8. See, one of the problems that a lot of Christians have is that they question whether or not God will. You know, and I've heard this so many times and so often and continually, and that's why I bring it up a lot, is because it's always, always, always questioned. Even in people of the faith, even people in our churches, even people who have heard me say it 10,000 times, people still question God's goodness and His desire for good things in their lives. But see, we have to realize something. We have to realize that it's not just God's desire that we bear fruit or that we have fruit. It's God's requirement that we have fruit. We have to understand that it's not just something that God desires for us, but it's something He demands from us. Yeah. He, you know, when you back to the trees, you know, if I planted a tree in my yard and I took care of it and did all the stuff, if the tree isn't producing fruit, if I planted an apple tree in the yard and it doesn't produce apples, then I'm not going to keep the tree. I'm going to cut it down because it's worthless to me. And so John 15:8 says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples." You know, a disciple is somebody who is a follower of a certain teaching or a follower of a certain idea or thought. You know, and this is what we have to understand about this verse. It's really important because he puts all this in there. He says, "So you will be my disciples." You will truly be a follower if you bear fruit. Because that's what glorifies the Father. That's how the Father is glorified, is when we bear fruit. And so many people have lost sight of this. So many Christians have lost sight of the fact that it takes us bearing fruit to get God glorified. And that's what He desires. Amen? That's when we are His disciples. Just because you go to a church doesn't make you a disciple. Just because you read the Bible doesn't make you a disciple. Just because you go to a Bible study or you listen to Christian music or Christian radio, just because you listen to some pastor on TV, it doesn't matter. Just because you come in church and sit there does not make you a disciple. When you become a disciple is when you're bearing fruit. Because you're adhering to the teachings, and when you adhere to the teachings of Christ, there is no other option but to bear fruit. Right. I said when you adhere to God's teachings, Christ's teachings, there is no other option but to bear fruit. Fruit is an automatic thing. An apple tree doesn't have to make itself produce apples. Right. An orange tree doesn't have to make itself produce oranges. Right. It just stays grafted, just stays planted, and as it's planted and it gets nourished, because see, it doesn't nourish itself either. And so that's something we have to understand, that we don't nourish ourselves. We don't create for ourselves the environment per se, but God does. And what I'm talking about is the environment to produce. Yes, obviously, if we uproot ourselves from God's will and God's desire and God's plan, then we're not going to stay, He's not going to keep us there. He can't keep us there if we constantly, you picture, again, an apple tree, an orange tree or something. Picture if you planted it in the ground and it just got up and hopped out and laid down on the ground. Well, it's not going to produce much fruit. I know it sounds silly, but that's what humans do, because they have the ability to unplant themselves. Why? Because that's free will. And God wanted us to be able to decide that we wanted to stay there, not just because He planted us there. Amen? And praise the Lord. But by this, we have to remember that God is glorified that we bear much fruit. And not just fruit, much fruit, the Bible says. I love the fact that the Bible doesn't just use words randomly, but there is a purposeful meaning in all the words that are used. Every scripture is given to us to benefit us and to teach us and to show us what God wants to do. His desire is that we bear much fruit. His requirement is that we bear much fruit. And we're going to see that today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Much fruit. Everybody say much fruit. You don't want little fruit. You know, little fruit isn't, we have the little blueberry bushes in our yard. They produce very little blueberries. Amen. So this year, when it was blueberry season, what did we do? We went to a place that had a lot bigger blueberry bushes and a lot more of them, and we picked blueberries from their blueberry bushes. And ours, you know, eventually we believe that they'll grow and produce. Otherwise, we wouldn't have planted them there. But, we go to where the fruit is, and that's exactly what we need to do as Christians. We have to keep ourselves producing fruit. We have to keep ourselves in the place where we're going to yield the most increase. Amen? And Psalm 92:13, I'll give you a second to turn there. Hallelujah. Psalm 92:13. I love the Psalms. The Psalms have so much to tell us about about God's desire in its Old Testament. I love that, because we see this, you know, as we go through our scripture, we see this so often as we go through our scripture, that the main desire of the Lord from the beginning to the end was that we would be great fruit producers. Yeah. God intended it from the very beginning. He intended it all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the law. He still intended us to be great fruit producers. Amen. In fact, in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy, it tells us, Deuteronomy 28, it tells us if we adhere to the law, if we adhere to what God says, even back then, if they would have adhered to it, then they would produce much fruit. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And it goes on to tell you all that fruit is. Praise the Lord. Psalm 92, 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Praise God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. This is such a common mistake that so many Christians make, not being planted in the house of the Lord. And people, you know, I've used this example again many times, but it bears repeating, that if you take a bush and you pull it out of the ground and you throw it on the floor, it ain't going to produce anything. Right. Nothing is going to happen with that. There is no life in that because it's not planted. And the same thing goes for people. If they are not planted, just because you go to church doesn't make you planted. Just because you come into a service doesn't make you planted. Just because you serve in church doesn't make you planted. Planted is where your roots are in and you can't be moved. Amen. I got in my woods, we have some oak trees and some other big trees. We got some huge trees that are much bigger around than even I am. Praise the Lord. We got these huge trees in there and they are planted in that ground. You know, the wind blows, the wind comes howling through the trees. We have these big wind storms up there on the hill. And those trees, I mean, they may sway a little bit, but those trees stand firm. Why? Because they're planted. Being planted is not easily moved. Hallelujah. This is so incredibly important. Being planted is not easily removed or not moved. And that doesn't just mean moved by the winds and stuff like that, but it just means that you can't, if somebody is planted in a church, they aren't just going to get offended and leave. If somebody is planted in a church, they're not going to just, one day they'll be there, one day they're not. When people are planted, they're planted. Their roots are in deep. They aren't moving. The wind will blow. The storms will come, but they're standing there strong. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And nobody, desires, there's not great in the lumber industry, there isn't a great desire for trees that grow up quickly and can be blown over and tore up really easily. It's in those oak trees that take years and years and years and years. That's where the desire is. That's the same thing that this is saying here. Amen. But notice it says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those shall flourish in the courts of our God. Also meaning that if you're not planted, you can't flourish. You can't flourish in the will and the way of the Lord. And so many people get off, they get sidetracked because they don't see themselves flourishing in the whole time they weren't planted in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said it before, bearing fruit isn't just something God wants for you, it's a requirement. If Christians realize this, the idea of trusting Him would be so much easier. If Christians realize that it was a requirement of God that you produce fruit, and that if you stay connected, if you stay planted, that you will produce fruit, if Christians realize that that's the way that it worked, they wouldn't question it. You know, it amazes me so much that God has given us so many of these examples in Scripture, so many of these metaphors and things where He shows us about how, you know, farmers plant fields. And we know that a farmer doesn't go plant a field and come out the next day and surprise because there's crops there, or comes out, you know, a month later and sees that there's crops there. A farmer isn't surprised by that. He may be excited about it, but he isn't surprised by it. We have some tomato bushes. When we were away for a week, we came back, and one of the things I wanted to do when we got back, almost instantly, in the middle of the night, and I had to go out there and check the tomatoes. I did, just because I saw these bushes. They'd probably grew a foot at least since we had been gone over 1 week, and now they had tomatoes on them, you know. And I wasn't surprised by any of this, but I was excited about it. Why? Because I know that the harvest is coming. Praise the Lord. But I didn't plant those tomato bushes, or rather my wife didn't plant those tomato vines. Or rather Josh and Rachel didn't start those tomato vines so they wouldn't produce anything. Right. Praise the Lord. But see, the same thing, we have to know this about our God. He didn't create us so we wouldn't produce anything. Right. He didn't give us Jesus so we wouldn't produce anything. Right. He intended us to produce fruit. And therefore, if we're not producing fruit, we're not doing what He intended us to do. Yeah. So we have to understand that. And the reason I keep going over this is because when people understand this, then they will spend less time questioning God's motives, and they'll spend more time staying in His Word and pushing through in faith. When people know that God, it's God's desire that they produce much fruit, that God, it's a requirement of God that they produce fruit, when people know this, they're not going to get sidetracked as easily. They're going to stay on course easier because they know that the fruit is coming. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn with me to John 15? And we'll start in verse 1. John 15 and verse 1. Glory to God. I love the Word of God. See, this is how it sets us free, because it gets rid of all that thinking and all that theology that doesn't preach the right stuff. We don't have to question God when we, you know, again, and I say this, we build a sermon on many scriptures and not even all the scriptures that there is. But it's over and over and over and over again we see this. And so you don't have to question what God's will is or God's desire. Jesus said in John 15, 1, praise God, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Now we have to know this. That there is a vine and that there is a vine dresser. The vine dresser takes care of the vine. The vine dresser trims the vine. The vine dresser makes sure that everything is doing everything the way it's supposed to. Amen? Glory to God. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Glory to God. You are already clean because the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Praise the Lord. Fruit is the byproduct of being connected to the vine. It's the byproduct. It just happens. It just happens. There's going to be fruit. If a vine is meant to produce fruit, it's just going to do it if it's nourished and taken care of. And we already see that God's nourishing and taking care of it. God's watering it. God's making sure that it has everything. So as long as we stay connected to the vine, we are going to bear fruit. If a branch is truly connected, the fruit will absolutely, without doubt, happen. Again, we have to get this. We have to beat this into ourselves. We have to understand this. If we are connected to the vine, fruit is going to happen. This is why Jesus said that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, we have to have the scripture in us. Without the scripture being on the inside of us, we won't know what God really wants for us. We won't know what he really has for us. We will never be truly connected without those words being in us. That's why Christians fail, is because they don't have the Word of God abiding on the inside of them. They have the ideas of man. They don't have the Word of God. They have the ideas of man. They don't have the Word of God. They have the ideas of man dwelling on the inside of them, and that's why they fail. They come up with things all the time. I preach the Word all the time. I preach good Word. Why? Because it comes from the Bible. I preach it all the time. I preach it right out of the Bible. And I still have people coming to me and saying things that aren't scriptural whatsoever. And I'm like, didn't you sit there and hear the Word that was preached? His Word is not abiding in you, and therefore that's why you're not bearing fruit in that area. And see, people want to be healed, but they don't abide in the Word. They don't let they're speaking all kinds of doubt and unbelief, and they're having all kinds of things happen in their life, or they're living wrong, and then they're wondering why they're not healed. You can't live wrong and expect to be healed. You can't be separate from the Word. You can't be rejecting the Word and expect to have the things God has. People wonder why they won't prosper. They say, well, why aren't I prospering? Because you're not abiding in the Word. Praise the Lord. It always comes down to this. If you're not connected to the vine, you aren't going to produce fruit. Glory. We have grapevines growing in our trees all over the place. And the ones that are cut aren't producing anything. I saw in the other ones, there's grapes on them even. Big grapes. I was surprised to see it today as I was out walking our property. But there's grapes and big leaves on the ones that are connected to the main vine. But the ones that aren't connected are brittle and break easy. And when the wind comes, they fall out. Praise the Lord. And they fall down and they're good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot. There's nothing good about them whatsoever. You can't even cut the dead branches down and use them to make wreaths or anything else. You have to do that out of the good ones, the ones that are still or freshly cut, amen, because they still have life in them. But the same thing is with Christians, and so often they separate themselves from the Word of God. They separate themselves from what God has ordained as being their blessing, as being their root, and they wonder why they're not producing fruit. And then, of course, they blame God and say that it's his fault, but it was never his fault. It was never his fault from the beginning. He set us up perfectly, and yet people don't operate perfectly in it. Praise the Lord. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He goes back through it again. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. There's that word much again. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Praise the Lord. By this, by what? By asking what you desire and it being done for you, by that my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we see that again. So you'll be my disciples. It's so important to understand this. It's so important to get this. We have to remind ourselves. I have to remind myself of this all the time. We have to continually remind ourselves, as long as I stay connected to God, His will, His plans, His purposes, as long as I pursue what God wants, praise the Lord, there will be fruit. I love this verse, John 15:8 in the Amplified. It says, when you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Wow, that's good. Praise God. Isn't that awesome? It just shows us everything. I mean, these scriptures, they unveil. I mean, in case you didn't get it by Genesis, in case you didn't get it by the way God created us, and in case you didn't get it by reading all the books of all through the Old Testament of the Bible, and you see all the times that God trying to lead his people into blessing, not curse. He always tells them how to lead themselves into blessing, not curse. He always tells them how to get out of trouble into the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Even before Jesus, he did that. And then he sends Jesus to come to the earth and explain to us exactly what his will always was. Yeah. And to make a way so to make sure that we could get there. Yeah. And not just to get there, but to get into the fullness of it. Yeah. This is what Jesus did. All through these scriptures, you see Jesus. There is not a religious person out there that does not know the scriptures about Jesus being the vine and them being the branches. Right. You can't go to a church and find a pastor who doesn't know these scriptures. Right. Praise the Lord. Praise. And yet you have people who still teach that God doesn't want them producing fruit. They still teach, in essence, they say that God gives and takes away all this stuff. See, they'll take one scripture, though they have many scriptures, and they'll hang on one. And why? Because they're not connected to God. They're connected to man. They're more into the ideas of man than they are, and that's why they don't produce. That's why that God isn't producing in them or isn't producing the things that he desires. That's why they're not bearing much fruit. Praise the Lord. Everybody, it's amazing because one of the biggest things that I see in people as they come into the church is their desire to produce. It's either a desire for more money, a desire for a good spouse, desire for a family, desire for healing, desire to be set free, whatever it is, but it all comes down to producing fruit. Good fruit is good fruit. Praise the Lord. Rotten fruit is rotten fruit. You know, when I was all depressed, that was rotten fruit. I wasn't producing good fruit. That was rotten fruit. You know, God wanted me producing good fruit, but just because he wanted it didn't mean it was going to happen. And I go back to the whole idea that God is, that some people say that God is all sovereign. He can do anything. If he could, he's told us his will. If he could do anything that he wanted to do, he's told us what his will is. We would all just be these huge fruit producers, and that's the way that would be. But that's not the way that it is. Why? Because it's not up to God. It's up to us. It's up to us to stay connected. And when people don't stay connected, when they don't stay hooked up to the things, and I understand what it's like, you know. I understand that there's things that come in life. There's things that will distract us. But we have to decide that we're not going to be distracted and that we're going to go on with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Luke 6:43. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 6:43. See, the thing is, and this is the ironic thing about it, I don't know if it's really ironic or whatever, but this is the interesting thing about it, is that this is what a Christian is supposed to look like. Yeah. A Christian is supposed to be the example of fruit production. Yeah. They're supposed to be that. They're supposed to, when you go to a fruit stand, I don't know if you like to do that, or I like to do that. You go to a fruit stand or a farmer's market or something like that. And you, when you go there when it's in season, and it's like, oh man, you know, you see like vegetables that look really, really good and fresh, and you know that they're not going to be nasty and rubbery like the ones sitting on the store shelves. No, these ones are good. You know that the fruit is going to be sweet. It's not going to be sour. It's going to be sweet and juicy. Praise the Lord. My mom brought some cantaloupe tonight that is just like I normally don't eat before, but I had to get into a little bit of that before because it just tasted so good. Hallelujah. You know, Mark didn't like it, but that's because he didn't know what good fruit is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But but you eat cantaloupe out of season and it's nothing. I don't eat it. Why even bother eating it? I wouldn't even eat it. You know, I've done that before. I go to a restaurant or something, they have a little bit of fruit on the plate and it's not in season. It doesn't taste good. And you just leave it there. It's like, gross. Why would I eat that? You know, but I guess you got to get your money's worth of garbage. But see, with God, we're supposed to be examples of the good fruit. Right. We're supposed to be examples of the good cantaloupe. Hallelujah. Yeah. We're supposed to be the ripest tomatoes. Right. The plumpest tomatoes. Well, I don't know about plump, but yeah. Man, you know, we're supposed to be the best. Look, we're supposed to be the ones that don't get cast to the side. We're the ones that people want, that people are standing in line to get. Praise the Lord. And see, this is why it's such a paradox, I guess, because you see, this is what God desires and what we're supposed to be, and yet the church looks completely opposite of what he's designed it to be, and then they wonder why they're not growing. They wonder why that people are by and large just fed up with it, because they're tired of the constant talk, and nothing to back it up. But God has designed us to look good, amen. Luke 6:43, praise the Lord. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. It just doesn't happen. If you're bad, you ain't gonna produce good fruit. If you're good, you're not gonna produce bad fruit. Praise the Lord. I love that because that tells me that as we do things, we know whether we're good fruit or not.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You take this church, for example. You got the Corey Church here. How do we know that this is going to be good fruit and fruitful? Because the Mayville Church is.
Yeah.
The same people that run that are running this.
Yeah.
The same God that's running that and directing that is doing it, directing and running this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So we know that the fruit is good already. We've already proven that the fruit is good.
Yeah.
So we ain't gotta sit here wondering if the fruit's gonna be good.
Right.
We just know that it is.
Yes.
Why? Because it already was. The tree is good. We know the tree has been tested. Amen.
Yep.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Yep.
You know, we had the testimonies, all the testimonies in the Mayville Church, and we have many more. Praise God. We're gonna have many more even after that. We're gonna have many here.
Amen.
Why? Because the tree is good.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It doesn't produce bad fruit. So that's why, you know, when people question, and again, people, you don't have to question very far when you want to know what the will of God is. If you know that you're led by the Spirit and you're producing, then you know that those decisions that maybe are going to be harder to make are going to be decisions that you can make because you know that the fruit is good. The tree is good. It's proven. The fruit is good. It's proven. So let's just move into those that direction. Let's just move towards those things. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. For every tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. And this is exactly why so many Christians are having a hard time, because they're thorns. They're thorn bushes. They're not berry bushes. They're not tomato vines. They're thorn bushes. They're bramble bushes. They aren't producing anything, and so people aren't desiring them. There's no fruit. There's no good. See, everything that is alive should grow.
Yeah.
Amen. It shouldn't. If it's dead, it doesn't grow anymore. And that's the same thing with the church. Praise the Lord. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. You notice this is still connected in these verses. They're still connected to producing fruit. So then it goes to a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Praise the Lord. It's real easy to tell what kind of tree somebody is, what kind of bush somebody is, what kind of fruit producer someone is by listening to him talk.
Yeah, right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing in the world. I can tell somebody going to be healed. I can tell if they're going to be healed within a 10-minute conversation with them, how they talk about it. There will be Christians that sit in churches like ours. They will watch people next to them get healed of cancer, of crazy diseases.
Yep.
And yet they will still walk out and still have the same disease. Why? Because they speak wrong.
Yeah.
Because what's in their heart. Because of what they're connected to. Amen? There again, if you're not connected to the right thing, if you're connected to the ideas of man, if you're connected to the thoughts you always had, if you're connected to the way you were raised, if you're connected to all these things but not the Word of God, then your mouth isn't going to be speaking the right things. If Jesus is the vine, the Father of the vine dresser, we need to consider this. Praise the Lord. I planted a lot of trees this year, quite a few of them anyways, or I had them planted. But it was under my direction, praise the Lord.
Amen.
What do I do, though, when I go out there and I find a bad branch on it? Break it off. When there's a bad branch, I get rid of it.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping bad branches.
Right.
Well, first of all, it makes a tree look ugly.
Yeah.
Second of all, it can damage the rest of the tree, and I don't want it to do that. I want to get rid of it because I want the good branches to flourish.
Amen?
Amen? And that's exactly the same way it is with us. That's exactly the same thing God intended for us, the same thing God's doing in us, is he's looking for the bad branches and he's clipping them off and throwing them aside.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean if you're a branch that isn't producing fully yet that God's just going to throw you to the side.
Right.
But we need to consider this.
Yes.
We need to consider that, you know, something, if God isn't going to keep the bad branches, we need to consider that we don't want to be bad branches.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Because we don't want to get to that point where we get thrown to the side. We don't want to get disconnected and then thrown in the fire and burn.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Notice again that it was attached to fruit producers,
yeah,
being connected to the vine. Praise the Lord. We have to remember this. And we need to check up on our words. We need to listen to what we're saying. You know, I was down in, when we were down in Gatlinburg, we were walking down the street, and this man came by in this car with his stereo blaring, and I heard the music, of course, before I got there, and I recognized the tune, but I couldn't remember quite what it was. I just heard the music, because it was way before, I mean, that's how far away it was. I could hear the music, you know, the bass and the stuff, and I remember, because I really liked that song. I used to listen to it all the time. It's been so long since I listened to it. And so as he's driving down the street, and he gets closer, of course, then I hear the lyrics. I'm like, oh yeah, that's what that song was. And then I started, like, you know, singing it or whatever, and then I remembered, oh, wait a minute, that's very, very bad. So maybe I'm going to stop. But you know, for the next, like, day and a half, 2 days, non-stop, I found myself in my mind just singing that over and over and over again. I was in my mind, I was singing, like, one of the worst parts of it. And it wasn't even that I was purposing to do it, but it got planted in there, and I was doing that. And I was bothered by this. Because I didn't go listen to it.
No.
I didn't choose. I didn't like look it up on YouTube and listen to it even once.
Yeah.
It drove by me. I think Brother Hagin said that you can't stop the birds from flying over, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. And that's exactly what was happening. That song was trying to find place in my life. It was trying to find place in my mind. And why? Because we were trying to be focused on God and the things of God. And then here's this song just singing about this raunchy stuff and just, I mean, using the F-bomb and all this stuff. And I'm singing this in my mind. It's got, you understand, I wasn't intending to. So finally, I realized what was going on, really realized what was going on. And I rebuked it. I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. I said, I rebuked that song in the name of Jesus. I don't want it in my mind anymore. And of course, then it left. But you know, it took me doing something. It took me being active to get that out. You know, the same thing is with a farmer. A farmer doesn't just throw seed on the ground, walk away, and come back a couple months later and expect to have a harvest. No, they tend to the ground. They spray stuff for the weeds and the bugs and stuff like that. They got to get that stuff out. As Christians, we got to do the same thing. Sometimes we got to weed the garden, folks.
Yeah.
Sometimes if we want good fruit, sometimes we got to spray bug spray. Sometimes we got to get rid of the critters that are trying to destroy it. Sometimes we got to, and that's why, you know, I love about being a pastor. I don't have to sit there and go through people's lives. You just know in your heart when you're listening to something, when you're watching something, when you're doing something, when you're thinking about something. I don't care what it is. You know if it's right or wrong. You know the direction it's taking you down. So that's at that point that we weed that, take that weed out and throw it away. Amen. And so, and that's exactly what I did. But I love the illustration because here's an example is, you know, the devil will give you a thought and he'll blame you for having it.
Yeah.
I was actually condemning myself because I was singing that in my head.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a minute, though. I didn't choose to listen to this.
Yeah.
I didn't just opt, you know, it happened in there. But I had to deal with it.
Yeah,
and so, see, we need to deal with it. When we have weeds growing up, we have to deal with it. You know, again, in our field, is we have some pine trees that have been hidden in the growth. Amen. And, you know, that growth chokes them out. And so what I started mowing around them and stuff and taking care of them, getting the weeds so they don't get choked out. I want the tree to grow. I don't want all the stuff to grow around it.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing is in our lives. If we want to produce good fruit, if we want to be fruit producers, then we need to prune. We need to be pruned. We need to allow ourselves to be pruned. But if we're not planted in the house of the Lord, if we're not around Him, we can't flourish in His courts. We can't be pruned by God because we're not letting Him.
Yeah.
If we say, oh, ouch, Lord, that hurts, and I don't want that, we're not going to be pruned, and we're not going to be producing the fruit that He desires. Amen? And let me tell you, just in case you didn't know, the fruit He desires is the fruit you're going to desire most. You'll never desire, when you think you'll desire something more, but you never desire more, because God knows you the best, and He customizes your fruit to your palate. Amen? Praise the Lord. When you go drink from the fountain, it tastes good every time. When you get connected to God and you get tasting what He has for you, It's designed just for you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
Glory, hallelujah.
That's, so
that's why we teach my children. When you're looking for a spouse, especially our older son, when you're looking for your spouse, find the one that God has for you. Why? Because she'll bless you.
Yep.
When you talk to the young women, we say, find the one that God has for you. Why? Because He'll bless you. When it's right, it'll be blessed. Amen. There won't be trial. People say, oh, how you can't know whether or not you're going to stay. Yes, you can know. If you have the Holy Ghost, you can know. You can know if somebody has got potential or not. Actually, a lot of times you don't even need the Holy Ghost. All you need to do is have some common sense.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
the Lord. And a lot of people just don't have common sense, and they think that they need the Holy Ghost. I mean, listen, the Holy Ghost helps in not downplaying His role.
Right.
But, I mean, there's a lot of things you can weed out before you even go to the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? You ain't got to go to God if somebody's stupid. You ain't got to go to God if somebody ain't serving Him. You ain't got to go to God if they reject everything, if they're always obtuse, if they're always just trying to go against the grain. Praise the Lord. You ain't got to go to God about all that. Praise the Lord. Get yourself right. Say, get yourself right. You know what I mean? If people want If people want good, then you get themselves right and they'll have good. Amen. Romans 11:16. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Romans 11:16. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and the root is holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. Again, about being connected. If we're connected right, then everything else is going to be right. And see, this is the thing. This is where the rubber meets the road, because this is where that worry will disappear.
Yeah.
The worry of the world, the trials of the world, the things that you do, the cares of this world. Praise the Lord. And the Bible tells us in one section that the cares of the world choke out the word in some people, in some types of ground. But see, if you know who your God is, you'll understand why Jesus said, don't worry about anything. Praise the Lord. Because if the root is holy, which you're not the root. He said, He's the vine, you're the branch. You're not the root. You're never going to be the root. You can't be the root. If the branch tries to be a root, the branch dies. Why? Because it ain't the root. The branch can't be the root. The root ain't going to be the branch. Praise the Lord. So we have to understand that if we're connected to the root, then it's going to be good. Oh, praise the Lord. If we're connected to the root, it's going to be good. It has to by default. It's going to be good if we're connected to the root. And see, that whole thing is about being connected. You say, well, maybe it's a bad branch. No, bad branches aren't connected.
Right.
Good branches are connected.
Yeah.
Bad branches are connected, but this is the thing. We decide whether we want to be connected or not. So are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Is that what I just said? The root supports you. You're not the root. So stop trying to be the root. Praise the Lord. You're not the root. You don't have to worry about being the root. You don't have to think about the root. You say, how does the root supply the tree? I don't know how the root supplies the tree. It don't matter how the root supplies the tree. You just know that it does. And if you stay connected, you're supplied. Praise God. It's that easy. It's that simple. Praise God. Verse 19, you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. You stand by faith. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. I don't believe God's going to supply. Broke off. Cast to the side. You see, that's exactly as simple as it is. I don't believe all that. Broken off. Cast to the side. What does the Bible say? I don't care what you believe. What does the Bible say? I don't care what you think. What does the Bible say? I don't care what so-and-so said. What does the Bible say? I don't care who wrote books about what. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Praise the Lord. I go back to this all the time. You know, we were talking about this recently, about the once saved, always saved garbage. What does the Bible say? It teaches completely opposite of once saved, always saved. Very, very, very clearly it teaches opposite of that. And yet people still believe that. Why? Because they don't want. But what are they? They're broken off. They're not fully connected. Now, some branches are hanging by, you know, maybe a thread. Some are hanging a little bit. And God's going to give them time. You know, God's not just looking for branches to take away. He's not going in there saying, oh, I want to give every opportunity I can to destroy the branches. But what I'm saying is over time, people, you know, and we see the same thing. We see this in natural trees, too. You know, we have trees that we tap to make maple syrup, and some of the trunks of them aren't looking as good as they did before. Not because of the maple syrup, but I'm just saying the tree is living past its longevity or whatever, you know. And there's areas that just don't look as good as they are. And they, you know, as time goes on, if it doesn't get what it needs, then it's going to eventually be broken off. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But don't, it says, do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Well, there's that once saved, always saved. He didn't spare the natural branches. So what makes you think he's going to spare you either? If you don't stay in unbelief, or if you don't stay in belief. Unbelief breaks you away from the vine, and you get cast off into the fire. That's exactly what the word says. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Period. That's right where it lies. There's no in between. There is no See, the Bible is so clear. That's why I'm saying the clarity of Scripture is not difficult. You know, people can argue certain things in theology. I've heard people arguing things like the tithe and stuff like that. I watched a video on a guy who argued the tithe and we're not supposed to do it anymore. I say, just look at people who actually do it.
Yeah, that's right.
The fruit is produced by, it speaks for itself. Yeah. You ain't gotta, you know, you don't walk up to an orange tree and think, I wonder what kind of tree this is. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, the same thing with people that tithe. Argue back and forth. You try to find all the scripture you want, and there isn't any that tells you not to tithe. But you go back and look at people who actually do it, put it to practice, and see if their lives aren't blessed. Praise the Lord. And give on top of it. Amen? It's the way that it is. You know, people want to argue things that we teach all the time because they're extreme. Why are they extreme? Because the majority of people don't accept it. Why do the majority of people not accept it? Because the majority of people don't believe the Bible. The majority of people aren't connected to the Word. We preach what the Word says. Simply. That's it. We preach what the Word says. We don't get off. You don't see me getting off into great theological debates or discussions. I won't. I can't. Praise the Lord. I don't even have that capacity to be able to do that. Yeah. My pastor does, but I don't. I like to talk about things once in a while and get into stuff you understand. But there's things about faith we just need to understand. There's things about believing God that we just need to understand. Amen? And it ain't hard once you do. It ain't hard once you get there. And that's what I love about the word. It isn't hard. Even a fool like me can preach it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Matthew 12:33. We're going to close with this. Look what this says. You know, see, these I didn't keep using the same scriptures, right?
Yeah.
Right? You notice we used different scriptures, went to different places,
yeah.
Different books. Amen?
Amen.
What does Matthew 12:33 says? It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. A tree is known by its fruit. Either make it, he's not saying that you, he's not telling you to make trees bad and make them good. He's saying it's either going to be good or it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
The fruit will prove it.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus is a good tree. He's the best tree. Amen.
Yeah.
Therefore, so must his fruit be.
Wow.
If the tree is good, then the fruit must be also. If you are not good fruit, if your life is not good fruit for the Lord, then you're not connected to the vine. You're not connected to the tree. You're not what God is intending you to be.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Produce fruit. Get connected to the Lord. Stay connected to the Lord. Stay connected to what his word and all that he says, and you'll produce good fruit every time. Amen. And that good fruit it'll come out in your finances. It'll come out in your happiness and your joy. It'll come out in your family life. It'll come out in your church. It'll come out in your home. It'll come out everywhere, in your job. You'll have favor all around you. Why? Because good fruit's good fruit. You can't make good fruit bad. You can't make bad fruit good. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.